ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. Protesters in Iraq storming the Swedish embassy, overrunning the compound and starting a fire after an Iraqi man in Sweden threatened to burn a copy of the Quran. U.S. State Department spokesman Matthew Miller asked if U.S. officials are concerned about protests spreading to the U.S. embassy in the Iraqi capital.
Our embassy is located in a different area than the Swedish embassy. In terms of any potential threats to our embassy, we've seen no reason to change the posture at our embassy now, but of course we always monitor the situation on the ground.
Iraq's prime minister swiftly cut off diplomatic ties with Sweden amid the protests. The Senate Judiciary Committee has voted to advance legislation that would set ethics rules for the Supreme Court and a process to enforce them. The legislation would include new standards around recusals, gifts, and potential conflicts of interest. Police in Las Vegas seizing laptops and a memoir from the Vegas area home of the only surviving witness to Tupac Shakur's 1996 murder. This is ABC News. Police say they've busted a human trafficking operation in the Chicago suburbs.
10 women, all over 18, from South America were taken into protective custody Wednesday from a brothel in St. Charles, Illinois. Similar operations were set up in other Illinois cities, says St. Charles Police Chief James Keegan.
Evidence seized indicates prostitution via human trafficking was taking place as part of a larger organized crime syndicate in which women were brought into the United States for the sole purposes of being victimized and exploited.
Five people are facing felony charges. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Nearly 140 bearded men who have a likeness to Ernest Hemingway have converged on Key West to compete in the annual Hemingway Look-Alike Contest. The challenge began Thursday evening and takes place at Sloppy Joe's Bar, where Hemingway spent time in the 1930s while living on the island. He penned classics, including For Whom the Bell Tolls, in Key West. The contest takes place amid the 124th anniversary of Hemingway's birth, and a winner will be chosen on Saturday. Mark Remillard, ABC News.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Wisconsin's manner of funding local government is nearly singular in the country. That cheese stands alone, if you will. It hasn't been working in Milwaukee. It hasn't been working in Rhinelander. It hasn't been working in La Crosse, Green Bay, Madison, Kenosha, Racine. I don't care what you pick. It ain't working.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
For over a century, AM radio has evolved to meet the needs of our community. More than 80 million listeners depend on AM radio each month. It's also the backbone of the emergency alert system, keeping us safe in dangerous times. A new bill in Congress would ensure this free, reliable service remains in cars. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM radio for every vehicle act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
We spend $500 on our infants and toddlers on average. If you go to the other countries, you're talking about $11,000 on average in Europe and the other developed countries. It makes a difference. They end up spending less on their K-12 system. They end up spending less on their colleges. They end up spending less on jail.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
The Supreme Court threw out affirmative action.
In a lengthy dissent, Justice Sonia Sotomayor spoke at length from the bench. In so holding, the court cements a superficial rule of colorblindness in endemically segregated society where race continues to matter.
Not anymore, Robert says.
We're good. Doesn't. We're good. We can talk about how racism has impacted you in your life and other spots of the admissions.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic
Media radio station and on the app, The Maggie Dawn Show.
I would be remiss if I didn't say that some of what we do in government always is political. It has policy impacts. It has political impacts. But if your raison d'etre and your organizing principle is that my guy wins and your guy loses, the entire country suffers. That is not our call to serve. That is not what we raise our hand and say an oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Democratic candidates are held to a higher moral standard. I don't see Representative McCarthy calling for George Santos to shamefully leave the halls of Congress. It is never principle above party. It is never principle and policy above person and personal achievement for Republicans.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Who's the most fun to drink with of the Republican lawmakers? Todd Alba did decide to text us. Who's fun to get a drink with in the GOP?
Fantastic.
Todd also confirmed that Robin Voss has virtually no sense of humor.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Should we eliminate income taxes for retirees? What impact would this have on your life? 844-967-2789. Should we eliminate income taxes for people who are 67 and older? I would love to hear from you as far as what benefits it would have for you personally, but also, I guess, the bigger economic reason we should or should not do this, because there, as of this week, there has been a new proposal that promises to do just that. And we briefly touched on it yesterday during Greg's roundup, and I had seen the article, and then I went back and read it, and you know, it's not something that's on its face. I'm like, no, we shouldn't do this. I don't know if it does exactly what it says it will, because, we'll just back up a little bit before we get into it a little bit. Jane Matinere, you're much closer to retirement age than I am.
That's
and
true.
So is this something that you would, be in favor of?
Well, I have not looked that deeply into it.
Okay.
But of course, when someone tells you, well, we're gonna lower your taxes because you're old, that doesn't seem bad to me. but
you're like, I don't hate that.
I don't hate that. Honestly. But when we're talking about what you earn, you know, how much you earn and who gets the most savings and things like that, I guess I'm still murky on those details.
Yeah. So would love to hear from you, I guess, just on its face. I will get into some of the details that have been released so far, but would love to hear your thoughts on whether or not Wisconsin should eliminate income taxes for retirees. And, you know, I think we have a fair amount of people who listen to the show live who maybe are already retired. So would love to hear from you as far as how much of an impact this would have for you. 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. But basically, more of the details are that two Republican lawmakers released a proposal on Monday that would eliminate nearly all state taxes on retirement income for Wisconsin residents. So the two authors are Representative David Steffen of Green Bay and Senator Rachel Cabral Guevara of Appleton. And it's basically a new optional retirement income tax exemptions for taxpayers 67 or older. Individual filers would be exempt from paying taxes on the first 100,000 of their annual retirement income, while married and joint filers would see a tax exemption for the first 150,000. So like if you have a massive 401k that I guess you're making more than that per year, you still would have, you would still pay some taxes, but it's on that first 100,000 or 150,000 that would be exempt. And so it's basically tax exemptions for IRAs, 401k plans, 403b plans, pensions, as well as other qualified retirement plans under federal tax codes. And so it should be noted that income is already exempt, like Social Security and military earnings are already exempt from income taxes in Wisconsin. So, and that that would, in this bill, those would not go towards the earning caps established in the proposal. So it's basically what you're paying, what the taxes you're paying on your IRAs and 401ks and everything like that as of right now. And so, you know, the arguments for this are, in, according to the two authors, is that it would retain Wisconsin retirees by bringing the state in line with neighbors. I guess Illinois, Iowa, and Pennsylvania also don't tax retirement incomes from these retirement plans.
Okay.
And that part I totally get. That makes a lot of sense to me. I'm less clear on the direct line between their other argument in, is that this would attract new employees.
Yeah, I'm not seeing that. So in 35 years, when you're done working, you'll get a break.
Yeah. And it, like, it's like, why wouldn't you just move to a, like, once you're done working, what would stop you from just moving to a place that already has one of these things if that was the motivator versus I'm going to move there now for a benefit 20 or 30 years from now?
Yeah.
And so that's the only thing that I'm kind of like, well, I don't see the connection there, but I certainly think this is a good thing for retirees. And I don't know. I don't hate it.
it's almost hard to say that, isn't it? It's, I don't hate a proposal. It's amazing. it's kind of amazing. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Paul from Kenosha is joining us. Good morning, Paul. What do you think?
Hi. I really question the logic of it because, you know, you could spin various hypotheticals like what if the population suddenly becomes significantly seniorized because industries are moving south and whatnot, then are you now having very little state income because you're not charging people who are retired? Where you then have to make that up with, say, a sales tax, which is a very punitive, regressive tax. And also, I think you already touched on some of it, too. There needs to be kind of like a means test in there where it's like, okay, if you're making over $100,000, that's a ton of retirement income.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, so to exclude that first portion, I mean, half your population doesn't, you know, or more, does not even make $100,000, and they all have to pay income tax. So why wouldn't you have someone who's making a six-figure income pay some degree of income tax on that?
It's a really good point. Thanks so much for the call, Paul. And he brings up a point that I'm still hesitant to bring up, but we're going to go there because I don't want this to come off as callous, but we already have a disproportionate aging population compared to other states. The country as a whole has it. Yes. Like the country as a whole has an aging population, and our ratio of retirees to working people is quickly declining. Right. And so how do I say, I'm saying this as someone who, you know, people who are 67 and older, those are our parents. Those are our grandparents. We love them very dearly. But from an economic standpoint, what is the argument for wanting like a robust retiring population? Because to me, if we incentivize people who are retiring or who are retirement age to live here, and we don't have aggressive policies to have working age people live here, that feels like a disaster waiting to happen when it comes to our healthcare system and our like service, like our elderly care service, which is already
a mess.
A mess. And so, like, if we don't have people and systems in place to take care of an aging population, is it a great idea to necessarily incentivize a growing or retaining that aging population?
Are you old and sick? Come to Wisconsin.
Yeah. We can't promise we can take care of you, exactly. But you don't have to pay taxes.
Well, you don't have to pay. Exactly. So there's the perk. Might be living, and you might be staying under a bridge, but you know, it'll be a bridge.
Well, and you'll, you know, and so that's kind of what I see is this. And I think the quote from the Journal Sentinel article that talked about this is talking about how much people who are retired, you know, they spend money on restaurants or housing or in their community. And by keeping these retirees in Wisconsin, we will see an economic benefit, which is sure. Like, it's, but that's an argument for population period, right? Like, sure. It's not, I don't know if people who are retired spend a disproportionate, like more of their income on spending it in their communities than any of us do when we're going to restaurants and going to theater and doing just living our lives. Right.
Well, I get the feeling that they have this image of this 67 to 71 year old person looks like the Golden Bachelor.
Yes.
That's who they're shooting for. And that's who they think we're going to attract with this. Not the actual 67 or 71 year old who has pre-existing conditions, who needs care, who may need hospice, yeah, ultimately. And so I think there's a lot to work out yet on this.
And maybe, and we got a comment on the YouTube live stream from Michael Hitpas. He comments a lot. I don't know if I pronounce his last name correctly, though. He says $100,000 is too high. Most people don't make $100,000 while they're working, much less in retirement.
Seriously.
So maybe the goalpost is not correct right now, as far as, especially if it's already your Social Security and military earnings and stuff like that's already not being taxed. I'm so far away from retirement that, like, I don't know what people are typically making, like, once they're taking payments out and from their plans and plus with Social Security, plus whatever investments, and like what the average retired person, what their budget looks like every month.
Right.
So that's why I would love to hear from people who, you know, maybe are already retired or are much closer to it than obviously I am, of how would this impact you? 844-967-2789. You know, especially for people who are snowbirds, who are, you know, thinking about leaving and leaving Wisconsin, like, does this change anything? But also the bigger question of, without being callous, but is it good for an economy to attract and retain an aging population without having a plan to have people there to take care of them?
It's not callous.
Is that not offensive? Okay. I'm just making sure. I'm not trying to be ageist here.
I would tell you.
Thank you, Jane. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to keep the conversation going, take your calls and your text messages, and give away two more Brewers tickets. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Definitely wasn't the right.
This weather brought to you by Amory Theater and Coffee Bar. On Thursday, see The Princess Bride. And starting Friday, July 21st, enjoy Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2 and Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. Get more details at amorytheater.com.
Professor Schwaber, what grade would you give the Supreme Court for their interpretation of the law?
That doesn't really work. The grade ordinarily would be how accurately and thoughtfully and carefully have you interpreted, you know, existing precedents. I tell you what, though, if I were teaching a course in, let's say, logic, and I was asked to grade this work in terms of its coherence and its rigor, a high D.
Wow. A high D.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Mattinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Here's your updated forecast. Lows around 54 overnight, under clear skies, westerly winds, around 5 miles per hour. Partly cloudy tomorrow. Slight chance for scattered storms. Highs level off around 82. Lows around 56. Tomorrow night, slight chance for scattered storms. Chance for scattered thunderstorms Saturday with highs in the low 80s. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times Sunday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM. Right now, 59.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. Beginning at 6, Up North News. Then at 8, Stu Daniels on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Welcome back to Matt from the Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines in order. Do not hang up. Bob of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Bob of Madison?
Well, I'm going to keep it simple today. DeSantis says Florida is the place where woke goes to die. Actually, Florida is the place where everybody goes to die.
You should do stand-up. I like it. You should do stand-up.
Thank you.
We're going to get to the guy pretty soon. Bob, thanks a lot for calling. You made my day. I appreciate it. Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Thanks for taking my call, Matt. I'm on board with something Jeannie mentioned yesterday. There was a lot of planning put in trying to steal my vote here in the state of Wisconsin, and there was a lot of planning put in for overturning the election nationwide. This just didn't happen. So they need to get to the bottom of this, or it could happen again. And people need to be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. Because, and then the thing that's going on with classified the documents, letting that out. Don't people understand? People get killed because they were spies.
Right.
This is starting to drive me nuts, because this is, I just, for the life of me, I can't even understand why Trump is even able to run for president again, because there was so much planning involved in this. It's all right there. And if you can't believe what happened, then you have problems, I guess. So thanks, Matt.
Yeah, Paul, that's an excellent call. Yeah. And I remember what Jeannie said. I want to build on that. And that is this, everybody open your eyes. I mean, yeah, they're Democrats, they're Republicans, and this, that, and the other thing. But the Republican Party has got to come up with somebody besides Donald Trump. Donald Trump is an asset of Russian intelligence. Who cares whether he's doing it on purpose? Who cares in terms of that's what he really likes? He's been paid. Eric Trump told the journalist back when he was running for president, when his father was running for president, that they've been funded by the Russians for a long time because the New York banks and others wouldn't give money anymore because he'd gone bankrupt 6 times in his properties and they got tired of being cheated. The Ruskies have paid him. The Ruskies have paid him. The Saudi Arabians have paid him. They gave Jared Kushner $2 billion. He gets 2% every year just for holding on to it, deciding how he wants to invest it. That's $40 million. It's a lot of simoleons, okay? And then he gets 1.5%, I think. That's what they usually get for those kind of funds, if for everything that he does over the S&P 500. So he can go and try to hit home runs all the time, and if he doesn't make it, so what? He still gets $40 million. Republicans, you know, say, oh, Hunter Biden, and they're lying about it. That said, what about the money from Saudi Arabia and Russia that's gone to Trump and gone to his son-in-law and therefore his daughter as well? He is an asset of Russian intelligence. He met with the Russians in the White House with no Americans, no staff, nobody from the State Department, nobody from the Defense Department, with no journalists from the United States, only Russia. The bathroom is just down the hall. What's in the baseboards? I'm not kidding. This guy is dangerous, very dangerous. And what Paul just brought up is this. We had people executed. The CIA sent memos to their station chiefs around the world. That was disclosed in the New York Times by a source. And they said, we are losing agents at an unusual rate. Be more circumspect about how you transmit information. What they could have said, and I think this is the code for it, is Donald Trump took a lot of documents and they're in a towel room in Mar-a-Lago. They're in a dressing room for brides over the ballroom. They're in a bathroom next to the toilet with the door open. And he doesn't have to say to Saudi Arabia and Russia, go look. How many people do you think he has there? He has about 150 people working as staff. And people just go in fundraisers. They go to dinner. They don't have to be club members to go to dinner. They go to a wedding receptions. He's had a Russian spy in there at dinner with him. You don't think any of them walked by this conference room, took pictures of the documents, and they reverse engineered how that info got into our hands and people got killed. Matt in Milwaukee, my friend, thanks for calling. A little time before the break. What's in your mind today, Matt?
Yeah, I have two quick questions. I'd like to maybe hear your answer off the air. First one is, do you think they're going to try to prosecute Trump before or after the real campaigning for president starts? I guess I'd like to see it before. I'd rather not hear about him during the campaign. And then my second question is, the success of the movie just came out called The Sound of Freedom. What do you attribute that success for? It's beat out Indiana Jones.
Okay, well, I'll answer. And if we bump up to the break, then I'll answer afterwards. But I'll start with the first one. Eileen Mercedes Cannon blocked the Department of Justice, blocked the FBI from looking at the documents that a federal judge had said they could have, and put in a special master till the Court of Appeals overturned it. That took a couple of months to let this clown Trump announce for president. He announced because he wanted to give himself political cover. So if you say, when did they prosecute? They prosecuted as quick as they could, but they had a Trump lawyer who happened also to be the federal judge block them. The second thing is the movie, I've seen the title. I haven't the faintest idea about it. I have no intention of watching it. I don't go to many movies. I like books, and that's it. So I haven't the faintest idea why you like a movie, especially a movie that I have not seen and have no intention of seeing. We're going to break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more after the break.
She's got a ticket to ride, but she don't care.
Summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. Protesters in Iraq storming the Swedish embassy, overrunning the compound and starting a fire after an Iraqi man in Sweden threatened to burn a copy of the Quran. U.S. State Department spokesman Matthew Miller asked if U.S. officials are concerned about protests spreading to the U.S. embassy in the Iraqi capital.
Our embassy is located in a different area than the Swedish embassy. In terms of any potential threats to our embassy, we've seen no reason to change the posture at our embassy now, but of course we always monitor the situation on the ground.
Iraq's prime minister swiftly cut off diplomatic ties with Sweden amid the protests. The Senate Judiciary Committee has voted to advance legislation that would set ethics rules for the Supreme Court and a process to enforce them. The legislation would include new standards around recusals, gifts, and potential conflicts of interest. Police in Las Vegas seizing laptops and a memoir from the Vegas area home of the only surviving witness to Tupac Shakur's 1996 murder. This is ABC News.
Three little words no parent wants to hear.
My tummy hurts.
And it always seems to happen at the worst times. Like in the middle of the morning rush, when you still have homework to check and lunches to pack, and of course, you're already late for work. Luckily, there's Pepto-Kids. New Pepto-Kids gummies helps relieve occasional stomach upsets, turning those three words into these three words.
I feel better.
Bad time for stomach upsets? Good time for new Pepto-Kids gummies. Fast support for little tummies.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Every dead body tells a story. Amelia Fox returns in the brand new season of Silent Witness, one of the original forensic crime dramas. Stream the new season now, exclusively on BritBox. Free trial at BritBox.com.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to continue with that segment. Very, very important what is happening in front of your very eyes and my very eyes. We have Eileen Mercedes Cannon down in Mar-a-Lago doing everything she can to help Trump in that case. This business of not granting a protective order is unheard of in even an industrial trade secret case. How about nuclear secrets and troop deployments? She is representing Trump, and she happens to have gotten on the bench and is presiding over it. Number one. Number two, the U.S. Supreme Court. The Republicans have gotten to the federal judiciary, and the federal judiciary under them has said that they can't be reviewed by anybody else. Even their ethics can't be reviewed. Clarence Thomas is crooked. He's been taking money for 20 years. Gorsuch got about $500,000 in profit from some crummy fishing cabin he had somewhere in Colorado that he wasn't able to sell before he went on the Supreme Court. John Roberts' wife got $10 million from law firms for telling him to hire good law students. A I told you about Shelby County. They gutted the Voting Rights Act that a few years before, in 2006, 98 to nothing. The Senate, I mean, 98 to nothing. You can't get 98 senators to agree that the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. And they wanted this Voting Rights Act in for 25 more years, and they were overruled by the U.S. Supreme Court. And Clarence Thomas is on the take, and he provided the one vote. How about Citizens United, 5-4? Clarence Thomas, again. How about Dobbs, 5-4? You all think it was 6-3. It wasn't 6-3. It was 6-3 to uphold Mississippi's law, but it was 5-4 to overturn Roe v. Wade. And now a woman in Oklahoma, Texas, and some of these states, I think in Wisconsin, she has sepsis and ectopic pregnancy. She might not be able to find an OBGYN to help her. Why is the Supreme Court out of review? Who the hell said that? Alexander Hamilton didn't say that. Somebody said back to us 200 years ago to him, just before he was shot in a duel. What if the Supreme Court goes rogue like this? Say, well, they don't have an army. He knew what he was going to do, and so did George Washington. We're in it right now. But the Senate's in it too. Tommy Tuberville, 650 flag appointments, generals, admirals, and their support staff are going to be promoted to go along with them and move their families, and they don't know what to do. He is a white supremacist who hates the United States. He's a chicken hawk. He never served in the military himself. And the reason he can do it is because the U.S. Senate unconstitutionally put in a rule that said any one of them can stop anything. Who said they could do that? It's not in the Constitution. It's not in the statutes. It's because all 100 of them think that they are Lady Astors and Lord Astors. They're in the House of Lords. They're aristocrats. And they don't even criticize him. They criticize him for being a white supremacist. They don't criticize him for sticking a knife in our military. They should get up on their hind legs, one of them, and say, I move this whole slate. And if they have a good faith objection to one guy or something, fine, carve him out and we'll debate that. Tuberville should not be in the Senate. Some of the Confederacy in the 1870s after the Civil War said, we were crazy to take up arms. We knew we were going to be beaten. We're crazy to take up arms. We should have stayed in the government and destroyed it from within. And Tuberville's doing that with the complicity of 100 Lady Astors and Lord Astors. Send them emails and say, dear Lord Astor, who the hell are you to let a white supremacist in Alabama knife our military? Stephanie of Madison, my friend, you're on the line. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Stephanie?
Oh, thank you very much, Matt. I have a question about, I'd heard, fake electors. Now in Michigan, these guys have been charged criminally. And my husband was asking. He said, "Do we have the same situation in Wisconsin? And if we do, why isn't Josh Call going after them?" Also, and this is another quick one, I mean, it's really disheartening. Years ago on Air America, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. had a show with Mike Papantonio. I thought the guy had some decency. He's now up there, you know, testifying for the Republicans and has written some scummy book about Dr. Anthony Fauci, who in my book is a hero. With that, hey, I'm going to hang up and listen. Thank you, Matt. You are my friend, too, and thank you so much to you and all of the other listeners that call in. And thank you also for giving that guy a real kick in the butt.
Thank you. Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you, Stephanie. Two excellent topics. I'm going to hit them right now. One of them, Michigan. Let me give you the update. This is how arrogant they were. And yes, the fake electors in Wisconsin should be prosecuted. So tell Josh, email him and tell him to prosecute him. In Michigan, Dana Nessel, the AG, is terrific. She prosecuted all 16 of them. They have 16 because they have 16 electoral votes. We have 8 electoral votes. So we have 8 of them should be prosecuted. And the 2 senators. So that would be 10 over there. They have 14 congressmen, I think, and 2 senators. A woman named Michonne Maddock is her name. Republican Party co-chairman, fake elector, just been charged. She, back in May, bragged on Twitter, and she posted a GIF. You know what a GIF is? You know, it's this, so it can be sort of a funny little thing. And here's what she posted on Twitter. She said, "The Dems are waiting for my arrest." And then it said, the GIF was of a skeleton tapping his bony fingers and a skeleton hand on his chin. It says, "Waiting." She laughed. She thought it was funny. She doesn't think it's that funny anymore. She just got indicted over there, criminally charged. A town clerk in Michigan, Stan Grote, G-R-O-T, has now been prohibited by the Michigan Bureau of Elections, that's the equivalent of our state elections board, from working, administering elections as the Shelby Township clerk, because he was a fake elector. How about the following fake electors? Spindell. Spindell was a fake elector, and he was on the Wisconsin Election Commission while he was a fake elector. Not only is that a conflict of interest, that should be criminally charged. Voss and Fitzgerald set up the fake elector meetings. Fitzgerald was the one who was still a state senator, or had just recently been a state senator. He arranged for it, and Voss facilitated it. How about Ron Johnson? Why isn't Ron Johnson being prosecuted? I mean, Dana Nessel should prosecute Ron Johnson, or Josh Call should prosecute Ron Johnson. What was he doing holding the sheet of state electors who have now been prosecuted, a sheet of guys who have been prosecuted, and told his chief of staff to transmit it to Mike Pence through his chief of staff to get up on his hind legs at the certification and say, "I have conflicting electors in Michigan, Wisconsin, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Nevada, and Arizona. Oh, and coincidentally, if they flip, Trump is president. I don't know what to do. Woe is me. Woe is me. I do not know what to do. Wait a minute. I know what to do. I know what to do. I will do what they did in 1876. I will ask you, the Congress." And by the way, you, the Congress, don't vote one man, one person, one vote. Each state gets one vote. Oh, and that's majority vote. California, you get one vote, even though you have 56 congressmen. Wyoming, you get one vote. You get one vote, even though you only have one congressman. Oh, and by the way, something like a majority, 26 or 7 or 8 of the states have a Republican majority in their tiny congressional districts. So how say you? Oh, you vote for Trump on these fake electors. That is what Ron Johnson was doing. And when you turn over a sheet, and they did, they sent the sheet, they called this chief of staff. He finally said he was afraid of getting in criminal trouble himself. And you know what he did? He said, "Don't even send me the sheet." And they argued with him. Why not? And now Ron Johnson backpedaled. "I was only involved for a couple of seconds." Well, you stick a knife in somebody, that only takes a couple of seconds. Stuck a knife in our democracy. He should be charged for trying to transmit a sheet of people who have been charged. And Spindell should be charged because Spindell was on the Wisconsin Election Commission as a fake elector, and all the fake electors should be charged. And Voss and Fitzgerald should be charged for setting up the fake electors. We've had a number of calls here, not just from Wisco Paul, not just from Gene of Eau Claire, but there are a lot of people who point out, and Bill of Oconomowoc, enough's enough. Enough's enough. What, are we blind? You don't know what happened? That's what it was going to be, another 1876 again. We're going to the lines. Do not hang up. I'll get you in order. Mark from the SAC, my friend. You're next. What's your mind, Mark from the SAC?
Yeah, not only that, their actual duty was, Ron Johnson's duty was, when he heard this going down, is he should have said, "No, I'm not going to do that. That's illegal. It's in violation of the 14th Amendment to the Constitution, Section 2. Clear clear, simple English that it's against the Constitution. These people didn't do their duty, and everybody involved in this, from highest to lowest, you know, I've said this before, it needs to be, have their ears pinned back on this one. I mean, not only Spindell, but you know, like, you know, Representative Fitzgerald, you know, Robin Voss, to the extent of what his knowledge of this, and anybody else who is involved in this kind of thing, even tangentially, should be dragged in front and be requested to testify, and lose their position as far as a official in government. I mean, period. I mean, it is just. I mean, you get to the point that these guys were involved in an insurrection against the United States. You know, that Trump had a lot of, you know, that Trump wanted to get back in office. He didn't think he was ever going. He didn't think he was going to lose. And if he did lose, you're just going to say, "Well, I didn't lose, so I won," and this is the way it is. And no, that's a dictatorship. I mean, we aren't going to have it. And what these guys need to remember is that when republics collapse, bad things happen. Horrible things happen, and I don't think they quite recognize, have ever read enough history to understand that horrible things happen to guys that do this kind of thing. And not that I'm calling for that. I'm absolutely not calling for any violence at all, but they forget that when the rule of law collapses, then the law is not there to protect them anymore. I mean, and it is just, they just don't seem to understand. I mean, Augustus Caesar used it, you know, when he got into power, when he needed money, he just had people assassinated and took their money that was there.
Right.
I mean,
right.
These guys just don't get it. I mean,
and I want to say two things. One of them is I don't think arranging for the fake elector meeting is tangential involvement. I mean, you know, if you set up the conference room, if you did that in a drug gang or a mafia gang or an ISIS gang, that's not tangential. You have enabled it, number one. Number two, you know, you look at this thing and this kills me. This following kills me. Why did this not all come out in the Senate race against Ron Johnson? Who the heck was running that campaign? Who was running that campaign? We had nothing but ads about peanut butter and baseball bats. And Ron Johnson, we knew he had the fake electors in his pocket. We knew he had done this. That's just not right. It didn't come out. Joe Madison, my friend, you're on the line, but we are going to a break. So hang on. I will get back to you right after the break and everybody else on the break. Do not hang up. But I want to put this marker down for everybody. Fascism creeps in on little cat's feet. I've shown you with Eileen Mercedes Cannon. I've shown you with the lazy senators, 100 of them, are letting a white supremacist Tuberville in Alabama not promote 650 admirals and generals and aren't doing anything about it. How about majority rules? They can suspend any of these rules. That's an unconstitutional rule saying one clown can do whatever he wants. A lot more to talk about. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. Do not hang up. I'll get back to you right after the break.
Broken bricks, falling fences, damaged doors. Gorilla Glue, of course. Gorilla Glue is incredibly strong, 100% waterproof, and bonds virtually everything. Gorilla Glue, for the toughest jobs on planet Earth.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup.
That's awesome!
Beginning at 6, Up North News. Then at 8, Stu Daniels. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. 12:15, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Tom Ancrute. Then at 6, The Maggie Dawn Show. This summer, things are heating up on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast. Lows around 54 overnight, under clear skies, westerly winds, around 5 miles per hour. Partly cloudy tomorrow. Slight chance for scattered storms. Highs level off around 82. Lows around 56. Tomorrow night, slight chance for scattered storms. Chance for scattered thunderstorms Saturday with highs in the low 80s. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times Sunday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 59.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Tom and Crude. Then at 6, The Maggie Dawn Show. WLAK.
Welcome back to Matchland Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Going right to the lines. Joe of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling Western Mind Day, Joe.
Well, just a thanks again, Matt, and for your willingness to be direct and blunt and call things what they are. Fascism comes in on little cat's feet. It's absolutely right. And I think when you've used the line, you're not woke if you don't know history, I would want to take a jump off from that today on the question of woke. I looked it up. Very, very interesting moments in our past that look at this word woke. The first one that I read about was the singer-songwriter African-American Leadbelly, who back in 1931 wrote a song called The Scottsboro Boys about nine young African-American teenagers who were falsely accused of raping two white women. Very common scenario, particularly in 1931, a time of incredible lynching statistics and rise of the Ku Klux Klan. Within that song, he says, in 1931, he says, "I advise everybody, be a little careful, best stay woke, keep their eyes open." Okay, wow. That's 1931. But Matt, that's not the only time that idea of having your eyes open was important. There was a group of men called the Wide Awakes. They started up in 1860, and they were very appalled at the slowness of the country to tackle the issue of slavery. And they were also very pro-union, but particularly the issue of slavery in 1860 was a bugaboo for them. And you can understand why. The Supreme Court had just issued 3 years previous the Dred Scott decision. And, the Republican Party had actually started up in large measure as a response in 1856 to the issue of slavery. So you got Lincoln there. These young men were incredibly taken with his anti-slavery platform and using this as a way to change the direction of our country. They called themselves the Wide Awakes, and they were so powerful in the 1860s that they bragged that in every chapter, they had chapters of the Wide Awakes in every county in the northern states. On the day of the election in 1860, they estimated that there were 500,000 Wide Awakes within the country. So I think your emphasis on history and understanding context is so important. And if I think back to what Leadbelly was going through at that time, when this was a segregated society, and he knew far well as he's traveling through the country, you got to stay woke, meaning you're really going to get hurt if you don't keep your eyes wide open. To which I would add, where we are now with this country and what the Republican Party has come, we all best stay woke, because we face a really terrible times ahead if this is not stopped in its tracks, because we know where this is going. This is going to tyranny, and that's the lesson of history that we must take forward from as we go. So thanks, Matt, for everything, and I just wanted to add that information into the mix because I found it fascinating. Thanks for all you do. Take care.
That was excellent history, very deep history. I really, really appreciate it. And I see another caller. Before I go to the next caller, I am going to simply say this, and you're not going to believe it. It doesn't make your hair stand on end. Under DeSantis, Florida, shortly, middle school students in Florida will soon be taught that slavery had a beneficial aspect. It gave Black people a personal benefit because they, quote, developed skills, end quote. I'm not kidding. And also shortly under DeSantis in Florida, high school students are going to be taught in their curriculum that there was a deadly white mob attack against Black residents of OC, Florida, OCOEE in 1920. and they're going to be taught in their curriculum that that riot, so to speak, included, quote, acts of violence perpetrated against and by, B-Y, African-Americans. If you can believe that. If you can believe that. That is what's coming up in Florida. And so we are starting to revert. You know, Lincoln was our best president. I mean, you could argue that Washington and he together, and there's a lot of truth to that. But Lincoln, and he paid for it with his life. And we were on a progression, a more liberal progression over the years, fueled by the Republican Party, basically up until Nixon. Even Eisenhower was a civil rights oriented guy. Then the Democratic Party under Al Smith in 1928, and then Franklin Roosevelt 32 and beyond, is starting to revert. I'm very confident in our country. It's not going to revert totally, but we have to be on guard. We have to be on guard. And everything we've talked about in this show today is happening right now in front of our eyes. And I want to respond to, and so Joe, thank you as always for your call. One thing I want to say about Stephanie, her second question I hadn't hit about, Robert Kennedy Jr. This is especially painful for me. I'm a huge supporter of the Kennedy family. I was in college in 1968 when Bobby was killed. I was involved in a Democratic group in Connecticut. We campaigned for a senator named Abe Ribicoff, who was a friend of Bobby Kennedy's, Democrat, and for Bobby Kennedy, and Bobby was assassinated. Joe Biden has Robert Kennedy's bust on his desk, right behind his desk in the Oval Office. John Kennedy gave his life. Teddy Kennedy was the one, the lion of the Senate. He was the one who started Title IX and a lot of other great things. Robert Kennedy Jr. has betrayed his family, not just the Democratic Party. He's betrayed his country. And the thing that immediately tipped me off was when Sirhan Sirhan came up for parole, he had murdered Bobby Kennedy in 1968. And at all the parole hearings, he would say, he either didn't do it or didn't regret doing it, or he didn't remember he did it, that kind of thing. Robert Kennedy Jr. wrote a letter urging that he be paroled, the murderer of his father. That is something Sophocles and Euripides would write about, something like that. That is absolutely disgusting. Now he is testifying, and Joe is, or Stephanie was right, is for the Republican Party. That somehow the vaccine is a conspiracy. He had his entire family vaccinated. When he had a party, he would write to or email people and say, don't come if you haven't been vaccinated. The guy's a hypocrite. Do not support him. He has said things that frankly border on racism. I don't want to go into it, kind of disgusting. It's a, you know, he cannot possibly be from that great family of patriots, probably along the Adams family and a few others, one of the greatest families in American history, and do this stuff. But it happens. Nothing we can do about it. But please do not support Robert Kennedy Jr. He looks like his father. He talks like his father, but it is grotesque. Coming to the end of the show. Great show, as always. Great callers. Matt Flynn Direct, we'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Stand by for another great show. Devil's Advocate with Dom and Crute, signing off for today. I won't
back down. Hey, baby, there ain't no easy way out. Hey, I will stand my ground, and I won't back down. No, I won't back down.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic News.